Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, it's your girl D. Scott. So, a lot of times, you know, people ask me, especially after having written, you know, Stanley and everything, A Diary of a Hot Mess, they always ask me, like, well, how do you deal, you know, with your demons, and how do you, you know, how do you combat them? People can sit there and act like, you know, oh no, I don't know people that live like that. Shit, yes you do. You just probably don't talk to them. And that's okay. But I would like to acknowledge my hood roots whenever I can, because sometimes we can end up back there and not want to be there. I am not a peacock. I'm more of a shark. So I don't need to flaunt my feathers and, you know, fucking walk around and act like, you know, this is fit to happen and I'm fit to do this. I don't like the fit to do. I'm more of a, I did this shit, I'm a shark, I laid in wait, I'm a night feeder, I waited, I came at y'all at an angle, and I ate your fucking face. I ate your whole life, and that's what I did. Because if I have to tell you, one of my things is, if I have to tell you I'm coming, if I do tell you I'm coming, I'm already here. Your girl D. Scott. Hey y'all, it's your girl D. Scott. Hey y'all, it's your girl D. Scott. And I am here. It is Monday, July 13th, 2015, and I'm going to let this play a little bit. That track that you hear was produced by a friend of mine, Rod Simba, out of Delaware, who actually works with a couple other producers, but congrats to him because he just got a song placed with T.I.'s label, Grand Hustle, down in the ATL with an artist named Young Louie. I think they call him Lou Hefner or something like that, and the track is called Latest Fashion. It should be out September 11th, so shout out to Rod Simba because I worked with him first. I got a ton of tracks from him that, you know, we have artists and things like that, so we do a lot of artist placement as well. And so basically, just another manic Monday, sitting here drinking my Pinot Grigio because I had to get off any other beverage that had any type of effect on my body. You know, I'm just, your girl is wore out. I'm just tired. It's been a rough, eventful week. I mean, 2 flat tires in 2 days. You know, something was wrong with my stepdad's car. It's just, and we have all brand new cars, so drove off the lot with them. So I just, you know, it's just been a hot mess week, and then having to change travel arrangements. And actually, I was supposed to be delivering my son today to his father down in Houston. So actually today is July 13th. I'm supposed to be delivering him there today. So such is life. He'll be there in a couple of weeks, and then I'll get to see all my people, family and friends, and everything will be golden. Now, let's get into my regular El Receta situation. So, of course, I like to watch the reality shows. Y'all know that because, you know, my life is stranger than fiction anyway. So I always watch the reality shows because it's no-brainer. I don't have to think about it, and it's all good. And so, of course, I watch Married to Medicine. Of course, I watch The Housewives of O.C., The Housewives of Beverly Hills, which is not on right now, but The O.C. Housewives of New York is hands down my favorite. I can't get with Atlanta anymore. It's just, it's too much. I told you, I look at them, and I'm just like, y'all ain't got no goddamn money. A couple of y'all do, but most of y'all don't. I need y'all to stop it. You know, you out here working, your house look like mine, or my, you know, my homegirl house down there look better than yours, but you on TV. I don't understand. So, and the white walls. I can't get with the white walls. There needs to be artwork on them, or I know that's not your real house, but whatever. So, I also been watching this show because I am very obsessed with The Rock, and it's an HBO original series called Ballers. And so I've been talking about it, advertising it. The reason that I love that show is because it not just because The Rock looks really amazing, and the other guy on there that plays, I forget his name, I think he plays Ricky. He's a nice little piece of something too, with that nice beard. I think I'm just really obsessed with beards, but it doesn't matter. He's a nice looking cat. And, you know, they're naked, these men, and it's not an objectified view of athletes as far as, like, where they're naked all the time. They are naked all the time because they are athletes, and I appreciate it, you know, HBO. I really do. And it basically deals with all the woes, and I mean, I don't know if you grew up in this lifestyle, but when you grow up in a certain lifestyle, whether you have an athlete as a cousin or you have an athlete as a father or an athlete as a friend or boyfriend or lover or anything, there's bullshit that comes with all of it. And I think the biggest problem is that in the end, we don't make financial situations happen, you know, especially in the black community. You know, first thing we do, we go out, we buy the Range Rover, we buy the Benz, we do all this shit that doesn't mean anything. We're taking care of motherfuckers we don't even know who are in our house and feeding people. And, you know, yeah, that's okay to be manic for a minute, you know, spend a couple stacks, do what you need to do, but, you know, in the beginning. But in the end, you know, somebody has to do the financial planning. What you don't want, you know, is a dare I say, Steve McNair situation. I hate to bring that up, but the opening scene in the first episode was, you know, this black guy who's going through some sort of fucking, you know, post-season trauma or episode. And, you know, he has the little girl in the car and, you know, the young lady in the car, and she's like, do you love me? Do you love me more than your Heisman? You love me more than football? She was like, 'cause I love you, I'd kill myself for you. I'm like, wait a goddamn minute. You know what I mean? And a lot of people don't understand, especially if they haven't been in that lifestyle, what you see. And it's funny because I went to a party. I ain't saying no names. It was, I'll tell you whose party it was. It was Derek Ward's party. He used to play for the Tampa Bay Bucks. Really good friend of ours. And he had this party at where did he live? He was living in not West Chase, but he was living near the yacht club, you know. And I swear to God, hands down, that was one of the best parties I've ever been to in my entire fucking life. And I don't even speak to this dude. He's a fucking nutcase. And he's retired, married, you know, with a child. I mean, but the scene in Ballers where they're in Miami, you know, they're probably on Star Island, I'm thinking. And they are Fisher Island, one or the other. And they're right there. The yacht is there. I mean, same situation. Dude's boat was there. He got the infinity pool. Motherfuckers was drunk in the pool. People having sex in the fucking elevator. Nigga had an elevator. Negro had an elevator in his house. You know what I mean? It was crazy. The interior, I mean, to the identical T, like to the interior designer that was really pretty. She's getting it in the laundry room. Like, this shit was crazy. And it wasn't like a big sex party. It was just like you would be walking in the kitchen to get a V8 and shit and be like, oh, shit. You know, it was catered. There was easily 200-300 people there. I mean, it was crazy. The guard at the front gate was like, come on now. But this was his actual home. You know, this was just on a Saturday. The party started, I think, at noon, didn't end till noon the next day. It was one of those situations where I had to come home and, like, strip down naked and get in the bed and act like I had been there all night. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it was that serious. Because at the time, my ex-husband was living in the house. We were divorced, but my ex-husband was living in the house with the baby, and he was, quote-unquote, you know, watching the baby. So I had to, you know, act like I had been, you know, home the whole night. But it was one of the best parties ever. And I think that a lot of people, especially with the drugs and all that other stuff, they don't understand that lifestyle in particular, it's very addicting. It's very appealing to a lot of people, but you get burnt out quick. The money goes quick. I mean, I remember walking in this guy's house and he's got his initials in the floor. I'm like, dude, you just got here. You know what I mean? Like, you might have wanted to rent something a little bit smaller. And then, you know, when you get your big contract or whatever, or prove yourself, become a franchise player, then you get the bigger house. And sure enough, a year and a half later, 2 years, he's gone. You know, and now there's a DW in marble on somebody's floor. So, you know, in the beginning of this episode of Ballers, you know, the female gets upset with the guy because he's cheating on his wife with her, and she wants to be exclusive, and obviously it doesn't work like that. Cheating on his black wife, let me be clear. And she forces him to get into a car accident. I don't know if you remember the situation where the young lady, I think it was Steve McNair, she killed him and then she killed herself. And you got to understand that when you guys are out there, you men, and you're having, you know, this great time, and then you introduce drugs into the situation, even alcohol, and you have these younger women that are not, and I'm not saying an older chick is better, I'm just saying, pay attention to who you're dealing with. You know, you have these younger women that have never been on a boat, or they've never been in a palatial estate, or they've never been anywhere, and then you mix all that with the fact that you're quote-unquote somebody, and then you're sleeping with them, and then they feel like that, you know, some of your Michael Jackson glove is on them. They get delusions of fucking grandeur. They forget their place, and, you know, it goes all bad. And then, of course, they're in love with you in 2 days. Of course. You know what I mean? They're just in love with the moment. And so it was really fucked up. He dies. He doesn't leave anything to his wife and children because he spent it all up on the Bentley that he was in that crashed into a truck. This is just a television show. And it was sad. So that's where The Rock comes in, where he's like, yeah, we're cool. I can allow you to borrow $300,000 because that's all he had in his thing. But now he's learning that, you know, these gentlemen need to be trained. They need to be trained how to spend money, how to make money, how to keep money. And, you know, that's something that his partner, which is, you know, a white guy, you know, is also teaching him. You know, he's driving a fucking Buick, and The Rock is driving the, you know, the Range Rover Evoque, you know. So it's just different mentalities, and declined on his debit card in the machine, you know. So especially raising a son and coming from that background with my ex-husband, and then looking at my son that's now saying that he wants to be in that lifestyle and he wants to be athletic, you know, I'm like, you know, there are certain things that we need to make sure are in place, you know, before you go out spending any bit of money, you know. So I just think it's an excellent, it's a phenomenal show. Survivor's Remorse is another show that I've been watching that's a little bit ratchet, but that particular show is the one I was speaking about, that LeBron James is actually the EP. He's the executive producer of the show, one of the executive producers of the show. And I think it's loosely a little bit based on his life. And we talked about, you know, the situation with the mother and then the ex-girlfriends always popping up. And that show is scheduled to come back on the 22nd. And then, y'all know, my favorite, Power. I mean, hands down, I love it. I was a little disappointed last week because the episode didn't have any sex scenes in it, and you know that the sex scenes with Ghost are amazing. Shout out to Omari Hardwick. He was down at Essence Fest as well at the Kenny Burns party, just as handsome in person as he is, you know, on television. But a lot of y'all don't understand, these are short men. These are not like big, tall, statuesque men. These men are of smaller stature. So, yeah, that's like my favorite show. Just for the simple fact that I'm loving Tasha's character, and then I'm going to tell you how that plays into the ratchet television. So here we have a fictional character who finds out that her husband is cheating on her with a Puerto Rican. Now, he could kill 50 people. He could sell drugs. He could do whatever he wants. Just don't cheat on her. Okay. You can put your life in danger. You know, you lose money. It's okay. Just don't cheat on her. So I do love the fact that a lot of people give me a lot of shit when I say that when I'm done with somebody, I'm done. And it's really, all of a sudden, it's really, you know, that's it. There is no second chance because you knew what the fuck he was doing. And then you lied because I might have not believed you, but I might have given you the opportunity to prove that you were not, you know, that you were about some shit and that you were not shit. And then you betrayed it, and then it's done. So I love the fact that Tasha's like, no, Ghost, you're never coming home, and that is that. And she stuck to her guns, and she was like, no, it's not going down. And I think that that will be helpful because in real life, we look motherfucking crazy right now on Love & Hip Hop Atlanta. I don't even watch shit. I only watched it because it just so happened to grace my television. And I just like to see the bullshit going on where it's almost like everyone is like sharing everyone's like ex-boyfriend. And it just, it's too much. And Atlanta is the place where the Center for Disease Control is located. So it's like, you know, when you look at the rising age rate of black women, so like I said before, you have young Jock who has 8 children by 4 different women and was still legally married. Why are y'all even fighting over this meatloaf head motherfucker? I don't understand. You know what I mean? He got a big bell pepper nose, big burger nose. And then the girl, you're upset with the other women when you took him from the girlfriend he had, Carly Red. Like, it's just, it's a fucking mess. Then you got where it came out that Jessica, Kurt's artist, was in fact not pursuing Kirk and is gay as hell, which, let's be clear, that fucking means absolutely nothing in 2015, that a girl likes a girl. It means nothing. Doesn't mean she wouldn't swing the other way, whatever. It just, it means nothing. So it doesn't matter. But it was cute to see Rashida get her little Tims on and, you know, get ready to go over there and beat somebody's ass. But I just feel like in a marriage, we shouldn't have to do that. In a marriage, you're not going to come in my fucking driveway in a car that I'm financing, you know, as far as my business is concerned with my husband, and talk shit to me and then roll the window up on me. no, sir, driver, unlock the doors, and you're going to get drugged. And that's just what it is. And it's not about fighting. It's about you can't be disrespectful, which goes into where Deb, you know, Miss Deb, and this is somebody that I had entertained for a minute to manage me, you know, when I saw that she was doing a good job with Waka and things like that. But then when her son passed away, the younger one, you know, I kind of took a step back from that because she went through something, and, you know, I reached out to her via Twitter, so on and so forth. But Deb's a hard know-that, you know, businesswoman. So for the woman that went in there, Kalita, Kaleidoscope, whatever the fuck her name is, and disrespect her, this is what I mean when I say black women, we need to start sentences. Doesn't matter male or female, with gratitude, not attitude. And so, you know, she got warned. She said, you know, I feel like Miss Deb said, I feel like you are in here telling me how great you are and you're coming for me, but, you know, you're in my house, so you're not going to come in my house and disrespect me. And that's very old school. So, you know, then you have the issue with this woman is a hot mess. She looks like a seahorse. She's married to a hottie who allows her to have, you know, they have an open relationship. And they just had a baby. Like, I'm not about this life. And then you have Nico, who is still legally married but was dealing with Mimi, and then him and the wife were living down the hall. I'm not equipped for this bullshit. I'm old school. We go together, we living together. You know, we splitting bills, everything. That's what the fuck we're going to do. We're married. You will get fucked up. 5 ways to Sunday. Ask about it. Okay, I've been married before. And motherfucking first thing that my ex tell everybody, she stabbed me, but don't want to tell them why. You understand what I'm saying? I am not about that fucking play with my husband life, period. Engaged, doesn't matter. I've been engaged six times, and it never went out. You know, it never worked out. Look at Drea and the Hardrick dude or whatever the fuck. Bottom line, their chemistry was off to fucking begin with. She used to be a hoe. He has issues with that, you know. But also, he was a hoe, you know. And then in addition to that, y'all are publicly going through this fight. 1 minute you're engaged, the next minute he's saying he didn't propose and that you bought the ring. Like, it's to the point where I'm about to have my attorney draw up paperwork now so that any dude that I fuck with, he has to sign paperwork saying that you will not speak ill about me in the press. You will not publish any photos that I gave to you that were personal photos. And I don't really do nudes, you know what I mean? And I think if I did do a nude, if it was leaked, I would be okay with it, maybe on a Tuesday, because it was probably a cute picture. But my face is 99% of the time never in it, if I have to get there. So, you know, especially when you got Skype and everything like that. But I just feel like, you know, people have gotten, especially women, so disrespectful to wives. Like, that's somebody's wife, you know, and we talked about, you know, the young lady that we had on the show, which is the highest ranked show, by the way. Thank you very much. But I refuse to say her name because I'm a hater. You know, we talk about the fact that, you know, black men are not getting married anymore and, you know, they're having children later and so on and so forth. But, you know, a lot of black men have commitment issues just like everybody else, you know, and as far as a woman is concerned, you know, you're not finna put me in those. I mean, if we're married, that's it. Engaged, everything's fair game. Y'all go together, fair game. Y'all live together, fair game. Kids, fair game. But again, and I say this with great clarity, if you even bag my groceries at Walmart, I wouldn't fuck with your dude if I knew that it was him. And you got to understand, because there was a lot of little issues going on this week, and I thought to myself, honey boo boo, I don't want you, man. You know what I mean? Like, he might follow me on the social media or whatever. I don't post nothing beat off worthy on social media, not that I fucking know of. You know, and if he is, I mean, maybe you need to get you a white bikini or something. I don't know. Mm-mm. But what I do know is that the type of man that I like and the caliber of man that I like is 99% of the time not your man. The fact that he's even with you, he's not my type. So, you know, I have a very specific set of skills and likes when it comes to, you know, men that I choose to share my time with or men that I choose to share my bed with. So you ain't ever got to really worry about me, you know, all like that. But if I don't know you, then, you know, it's fair game. And again, I don't give a fuck about your girlfriend. I don't give a fuck about you. I don't care about none of it. Because you know why? Nobody ever gave a fuck about me. You know, I remember being pregnant. You know, like 8 months pregnant, you feel your worst, you water weight gain, you like, I'm not my true ultimate form. So, and I remember being in a Florida mall, the International Mall, and I remember a girl, and she was cute, walked directly up to my husband and was like, oh my God, he is fine as fuck. And I thought to myself, like, bitch, I know you see me standing here. with this big ass butt, like, you're going to disrespect me like that, and I can't even hit you because I'm pregnant and I'm somebody's wife and I'm about to be somebody's mother. So that's what I'm saying, like, the situation with women has gotten so out of hand. You know, I have, you know, somebody else that I know, and, you know, she's in a situation where she had to sit down to, you know, with a man's wife and, you know, talk about what happened and this, that, and the third. And I said to her, this conversation would have never happened because on site you're getting fucked up. You know, and I just think that a lot more women need to start beating other women's asses for fucking with married men. Like, seriously, like, if you get beat up, it should just be an automatic rule, like, whatever. And, again, I'm excluding baby's moms, and I'm excluding, you know, because, listen, we all know, and I call it the Chris Bosh effect. Chris Bosh was engaged to another female for a long time, 5 years. And he had already been messing with Adrian Bosch, you know, Miss Goody Two Shoes. But I do have to say that I like her energy from the Miami Heat. And long story short, he left old girl at the altar and was married to the other chick a month or two later. And that's not to say that, you know, some people are like, oh my God, it's true love and da 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 and, you know, so on and so forth. But that's not cool. You know, so I'm just in a place right now. I don't know what's going on with my phone. I'm just in a place right now where, you know, I really just don't give a shit. Nobody cared when I was married. You know, women were all too quick to be like, you know, this, that, and the third, until you start asking them to meet you in parking lots. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, we don't got shit to talk about. Let's just meet in the parking lot. They never show up, though. You know what I'm saying? They just really never show up. And that's what's really sad because, you know, if you bold enough, and everybody's got to stay in their lane, if you bold enough to call a man's wife and say, you know, your husband's been doing this, and I remember thinking to myself, and it's funny because that's another thing. Y'all think that I'm invincible. Y'all think that I don't go through shit. Y'all think that I just got to this stage in life and y'all, oh, my God, I want to be like you. I don't want to put up with no shit. You know how much fucking shit that I put up with? Please. You know what I'm saying? And I put up with plenty of shit. That's why I'm not putting up with the shit no more. And then whatever the fuck I want, I just take it. That's what it is. That's who I am. You know what I mean? Because shit, if it came to me, I mean, it belonged to me anyway. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. But it's funny because I remember, you know, being so in love with my husband that, you know, I remember a girl tried to tell me, you know, your husband did this and this and this. And I said, first of all, don't you fucking never tell me nothing about my husband. You know, and I think that that's where men get shit fucked up is that y'all got to come and tell us this shit. Y'all got a disclaimer. I don't give a fuck if you're going to get punched in the face with a sledgehammer. Just come to me and tell me, like, look, I fucked up 2 weeks ago last Sunday. I did this. Nobody should ever be able to come to your wife or your husband and tell them anything about you. There should never, ever, ever be an issue. You know what I'm saying? That ever aroused. You know, or ever arise that we would have a reason to talk. We ain't got shit to talk about. Put your hands up. That's it. Put your hands up, and that's it. We don't have shit to talk about. But I think, you know, I was going through it this week because I was having these, like, emotional little, you know, flutters and shit like that. And then, like, I would have to pull myself back because I'm not in the business of giving a man husband rights, and that's not my husband, or giving him boyfriend rights, and that's not my boyfriend. You know, we're just seeing each other. We're seeing where things go, and everything is still early. But because I'm such a giver, you know, I'll have the next 9 months planned out like, yeah, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that. And it bothers me that I have to pull myself back and say, that dude ain't asked for your hand in marriage. That dude ain't really nothing to you publicly. So you don't need to entertain that publicly. Whatever you and this person are or that guy is over there, you entertain that privately because it's not for everybody and it's not everybody's business. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the only way that I can protect my relationships now because I can't go public because when I go public, these motherfuckers is always doing something to fucking embarrass me. You know, that's why I think I'm about to put everybody on fucking papers, you know what I mean, and sign clauses and shit to say, like, if you end up in a book, I don't owe you a dollar. If you end up, you know, me and you don't talk no more, I don't owe you parking, you know, or Uber money and shit. You know, because you have to be careful. And then when I watch these shows, like The Housewives in New York City, and, you know, I love Bethany Frankel, like, she's, like, my favorite, and I love her because I remember when she first started Skinny Girl, and I talk about this all the time because these are the people that I look up to, you know. and you know, as far as business models are concerned. And I remember when her and Jason first started out, her husband at the time, and he was maybe making $500,000 a year as an attorney in New York, and she was making like $300,000 doing what she was doing with the Housewives franchise and everything like that. And, you know, they were on the verge of being broke. They have the baby, they got married, everything was cool. And she blew the fuck up. She sold her company for over $100 million. You know, she, skinny girl, cocktails, margaritas, you know, it's an entire lifestyle. And that's why, you know, while I'm looking for management right now, I don't want to cut anything out of my brand because I feel like there's a place for all of it. So popcorn don't got nothing to do with margarita mix, don't got nothing to do with, you know, butter. She, I mean, Bethany Frankel has freaking a sugar substitute, skinny girl sugar substitute. So she's built this brand. They bought her out for $100 million. Plus, she still gets residuals. So, I mean, when you a boss, when you walking up in the Hamptons and you just buying a fucking $4 million house just off rip, cash, okay? That's what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm not in here to try to have conversations about, you know, cheese and crackers and you know, this wine. I'm trying to get this money. So, you know, I feel like I feel bad for her because it could have been any of us that had a good idea. It could have been any of us that blow up, and then you have this fuck-faced husband that's saying, well, you know what? Where's my money? You know, where's my money? I did this, I did that, which he did nothing. She had the brand before she got with him. And now she has to pay him. You know, she lost an apartment in Tribeca, which if you know anything about Tribeca, New York, that is, you know, Robert De Niro lives there, Beyonce and Jay-Z live there, you know, where the 7-Eleven video was filmed. You know, that's a Tribeca apartment. I mean, so you're talking about $10 million apartment. She lost it, you know, to him. So she had to buy another apartment, which cost her, I think it was $6 million, and then another million to renovate, bought cash. So, I mean, even though I'm sure that, you know, she's not parting ways with, I mean, what is it? He wanted $10 million. Like, come on, man. Why can't we just all leave what the fuck we came with? I'm not in the business of, you know, I feel like if I fuck up, you know what I mean? If I fuck up, then I want, you know, take some money from me, take $20. But if you fuck up, you know what I mean? Which he did, he cheated on her. If you fuck up, you get nothing. And so I've talked to y'all before about having relationship contracts and, you know, kind of having prenups and things like that in place, and I am 100% for it. I don't give a shit if all you own is a box of Crayola crayons. You got to, you know what I'm saying, be prepared and be concerned about shit like that, you know. Nobody wants to work their ass off only to have some dirty motherfucker, like, take the money, you know. And so to watch Bethany, you know, go through that, it makes me feel like I have to be all the more protected, but I also have to categorize men as they go. Like, this is somebody that you could build with. Okay, we put him in that box. This is somebody that you're going to have fun with. He makes you happy. You smile. Everything's great, but you know that he's emotionally unavailable, so we have to put him over there. And then, you know, you may have this guy over here that's just great fucking arm candy. I mean, just amazing arm candy. You guys have a going out relationship. You know, once before I was in a situation where, you know, I took shit too far with a relationship that should have just been us going out and hanging out. And it turned into something else because I decided to take cookies out the cookie jar. And, you know, it ended up disastrous because that was never supposed to be somebody that was supposed to be my lover. That was supposed to be somebody that we talked about clothes and Gucci and, you know, the latest fashion, you know. And you got to be careful of motherfuckers that ain't never been on a plane. What the fuck is that about? But it's funny because this week, like I said, I was having little pitter-pats of feelings, and I'm starting to allow myself to, you know, be open to certain things. No, no freaky bullshit. Motherfuckers don't ask me, like, oh, is you, you know. No, just open, like, with myself to say this is something that I really want or this is something that I really don't want. And so I could feel the pimp's blood draining out of me. Like, I could feel, you know, myself losing control and then having to rein that shit back in, like, back that shit up, like Dorinda says. You back that shit up right now from Housewives in New York City. You know, and I can feel myself having to back that shit up and say, you got pimp's blood and you use the pimp by blood, not relay, Sean, and you need to get your shit back focused on who the fuck you are, and you got to, you know, protect your heart. You got to protect your neck. And so in accordance with that, let me tell you how ratchet I am. When I got married, we had security at the wedding. All my bridesmaids wore black, death of a pimp. And I had just gotten out of a relationship with somebody else, like long term, but he was fucking around. Like, he wasn't, like, you weren't doing anything. You were stagnant. So I started dating someone else, and within 90 days was married. I was engaged within 2 months, and then we planned the wedding in 3 weeks, so I was married. It'll be All-Star Break July 16th, which that's how much I love my city. 716 is my anniversary day. It would have been 12 years, I think, this week. Yeah, it would have been 12 years. But you know what? It all works out. But what I can tell you is that day when we drove off in the car, because it was just hard for me to let go of my ways, this is what was playing. Yes, I drove away.
But if you can't get a dollar out of me, no Cadillac, no perms you can't see, then I'm a motherfucking B-I-M-B. I don't know what you heard about me. But if you can't get a dollar out of me, no Cadillac, no perms you can't see, then I'm a motherfucking B-I-M-B.
Now shorty, she in the club, she dancing for dollars. She got a thing for that Gucci, that Fendi, that Prada, that BCBG, Burberry, Dolce and Cabana. She feed them fools fantasies, they pay her cause they want her. I spit a little G, man, and my gang got her. An hour later, had her ass up in the Ramada. Them trick niggas in the ear saying they think about her. I got the bitch by the bar trying to get a drink about her. She like my style, she like my smile, she like the way I talk. She from the country, then she like me cause I'm from New York. I ain't that nigga trying to holler cause I want some head. I'm that nigga trying to holler cause I want some bread. I could care less how she perform when she in the bed. Bitch at that track, catch a date and come and pay the kid. Look, baby, this is simple, you can't see. You fucking with me, you fucking with a P-I-M-P.
I don't know what you heard about me. Woo. But a bitch can't get a dollar out of me. No Cadillac, no perms you can't see. Then I'm a motherfucking P-I-M-P. I don't know what you heard about me. But a bitch can't get a dollar out of me. No Cadillac, no perms you can't see. Then I'm a motherfucking P-I-M-P.
I'm about my money, you see. Girl, you can holla at me. If you fucking with me, I'm a P-I-M-P. Now what you see on TV, no Cadillac, no greasy. Head full of hair, bitch, I'm a P-I-M-P. Come get money with me. If you're curious to see how I feel to be with a P-I-M-P. Rolling the Benz with me, you can watch the TV. From the backseat of my V, I'm a P-I-M-P.
Girl, we could pop some champagne and we could have a ball. We could throw to the good like a, we could have it all. We could really spurge, girl, and tear up the mall. If ever you need someone, I'm the one you should call. I'll be there to pick you up if ever you should fall. If you got problems, I can solve them, they bigger than small. That other nigga you be with ain't about shit. I'm your friend, your father, and confidant, bitch.
I don't know what you heard about me. But a bitch can't get a dollar out of me. No Cadillac, no perms you can't see. Then I'm a motherfucking P-I-M-P. I don't know what you heard about me. But a bitch can't get a dollar out of me. No Cadillac, no perms you can't see. Then I'm a motherfucking P-I-M-P.
I told you fools before, I sit with the dudes. I keep a Benz, some rims, and some jewels. I holler at a hoe till I got a bitch confused. She got on Payless, me, I got on Gator shoes. I'm shopping for the chillers, and the summer the cheaper. Man, it's so you can have her when I'm done, I ain't gon' keep her. Man, bitches come and go, hey, nigga pimpin' no. This ain't a secret, you ain't gotta keep it on the low. Bitch, shoes on me, I hear you strippin' in the street. Put my other hoes down, you get your ass beat. Now, Nick, my bottom bitch, she always come up with my bread. The last nigga, she was whipping stitches in her head. Get your hoe out of pocket, I put a charge on the bitch. Cause I need 4 TVs and AMGs for the 6. Hoe make a pit rich, I ain't paying bitch. Catch a date, suck a dick, shit. Trick.
I don't know what you heard about me.
Yeah.
But a bitch can't get a dollar out of me.
Woo.
No Cadillac, no perms you can't see.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm a motherfucking P-I-M-P. I don't know what you heard about me.
Uh-huh.
But a bitch can't get a dollar out of me.
Yeah.
No Cadillac, no perms you can't see. Then I'm a motherfucking P-I-M-P.
Yeah. In Hollywood, they say there's no business like show business. In the hood, they say there's no business like hoe business. You know? But see, I talk a little fast, but if you listen a little fast, I ain't got to slow down for you to catch up, bitch.
Yeah, my fellow moonchild city shit. I gotta shout out all the cancers, all the moon children. I had no idea that Bill Cosby was a cancer, Mike Tyson is a cancer, Frida Kahlo, the Mexican artist that was you know, in the long-term romance with Diego Rivera. She's a Cancer. Mike Tyson is a Cancer. For Descent's a Cancer. I'm a Cancer. Courtney Love's a freaking Cancer. Joyce Benelli's a Cancer, which is the stylist for the Kardashians. Very blonde female. Khloe Kardashian is a Cancer. Solange is a Cancer, which we actually ran into her as well in New Orleans. She actually is a resident there. Little teeny tiny thing. Her birthday is actually the same day as mine. So what does that tell you? We are sensitive thugs that like hugs. So now I want to get into Married to Medicine, because that's a whole other issue within and of itself. Oh, black women, black women, black women. So I've been watching Married to Medicine, and I love this show because there can only be a certain dose of ratchetness when you are married to a physician or you are a physician. I mean, you're talking about, you know, malpractice insurance. Like, motherfuckers, you got to have money. So we actually ran into Miss Mariah. I mean, she is more gorgeous in person than she is on television, her and Aiden. Aiden's like, oh, you don't see nobody over here? You know, so we give him a hug. His hair extensions look nice, his little plugs he got. But Mariah was flawless. I mean, absolutely flawless. I can see why they go for her. They come for her the way that they do. I mean, she literally is, she is flawless. And I mean, she wasn't made up down, none of that. So, you know, I had a chance to chit-chat with her when we were at Essence Fest, and, she, you know, I said, girl, you know you need to get back on that show. They are a mess. And she said, I know. She said, I'll go back on there in a minute. You'll see. You know, and she agreed they was a mess. I mean, but if you don't watch the show is made up of black physicians, some female, some male. And it's interesting to see the two, well, there are three black physicians, well, two black physicians, one black female dentist, two female black physicians, they're married to, you know, quote-unquote non-doctors. So it's interesting to see just little shit that I noticed, like the one doctor, yes, I understand that you are, a gynecologist and you worked hard, but honey boo-boo girl, you went and bought a Maserati, you have two children, you have a husband, and the husband was more shocked, and it's her money, and the husband was really shocked, and he says, you know, wow, we usually make all our large financial decisions together, and, you know, you're talking about an $80,000, you know, minimum, you know, $60,000 to $80,000 purchase, you know, and so I kind of felt bad about that, because in a marriage, that's just not how things work, and then you see Quad, let's be clear, the reason Quad, and I, you know what, I've always loved her husband, she probably got one time, and it's going to be over because they already had difficulties getting married in the first place, from what I understand. Like, there was issues, and he didn't want to get married, and they called off the wedding, and then they just went and did it. And then, you know, so long story short, Quad and Lisa Nicole. Lisa Nicole is married to a, you know, motherfucker. You know, he's pretty. He's got this curly hair, whatever. But you can look at him and tell he kind of ain't shit. And then you got Toya. She's from Detroit. She's done a little bit of ratchet shit that I didn't like. Like, right now they're renting a house that's like 8,000 square feet. My homegirl live in a house that's being rented. You know, that's not rented. Like, you know, she lives in that. So I feel like, why are you doing this? Do you need 8,000 square? I mean, I'm being serious. Like, I don't care how much money that I end up getting. I don't need 8,000 square feet. I want to be able to see you. I mean, I want my side of the house, but I just, and I'm not saying it because I don't have the money to do it. That's not what it is. I'm saying it because it's unnecessary. Who's going to clean this motherfucker? Because y'all know I got issues with housekeepers. I be thinking they'd be stealing my socks and shit. And I don't even wear socks. So the issue was, Lisa Nicole did a background check on Quad. They were supposed to do some sort of business deal together. And rightfully so. And it just got taken out of control. And instead of her just saying, you know what, I'm sorry if that made you feel some type of way, it wasn't meant to be like that, they kept going back and forth. Quad goes and gets a background check on Lisa Nicole. Lisa Nicole, remind you, Abalonia 6. That's what she looked like. She's like Abalonia and Vanity in one person. Now, it's been very clear that her and her husband have had infidelity issues on his end. And, you know, she just, Lisa Nicole is very, you know, they're in the church and all this other shit. Y'all going to listen to me when I tell you the devil sit in church too. Okay, and so you have Dr. Heavenly, and then you had a couple of the other girls whose husbands don't go to the strip club with them. So they're like, no, why would we do that? You know, oh, my God. And I'm like, oh, God. Let me be clear. I don't like girls. I'm not into women. But I can't appreciate a woman with a good body or a woman that can do some acrobatics on a pole, because, shit, I might want to know. I'm tired of watching YouTube. You know, I'm trying to get myself together with these stripper shoes and shit. You know, just trying to perfect my technique. But I feel bad that we as women are not comfortable enough in our sexuality and in our bodies that we can't go to a strip club without being haterish and have some entertainment. Let me be clear. Most of the strip clubs that I've gone to, they got five-star dining service. You know, so you're talking about a good steak, a good potato, you know, good drinks, and just a different atmosphere. You guys, you know, you women, you go to all these events and you end up standing around with a bunch of other fucking women. Well, the men be in the strip club. You might want to go in there a time or two. And especially in Atlanta, you know, they got the Cheetah, they got DOA, you know, Diamonds of Atlanta. I mean, come on now. So I feel like there was judgment already being passed. And then long story short, in the episode last night, that shit truly broke my heart because you see Quad go in for the kill. And that's why she got slapped with the water in her face, which legally is assault. Y'all can't be spitting on people and throwing water. And I love Quad's husband for saying this. He said, first of all, you ain't got no problems. You walking around here with this big old bandage on your face and you got four scratches. He said, I work in the emergency room where people got real, real fucking problems. Okay, coming in with their brains blown out, you know. And y'all got to understand as black women, and I just had this conversation with, you know, the activist that was on the show the other day, you cannot address people's spouses. You can't address people's wives. Not baby mama, not cousin. No, you don't address people's spouses, husband or wife. She addressed the husband, saying the husband had a baby out of wedlock, all this stuff. It's just none of your business. You understand what I'm saying? And if you know that that's a sore spot, why would you bring that up? As a woman, that kind of is a low blow. You know, nobody wants to hear about their man's infidelity. Nobody wants to hear about sad secret children, which, let's be clear, Nana and them been having secret children forever, okay? Y'all all know we got cousins we just met fucking 5 years ago at the family reunion and didn't know. You know, that's goddamn near your age, 30 and 40 years old. So I just feel like I don't like the depiction of the black women on this show because y'all should, and Quad's husband told her, he said, you know, as physicians' wives, y'all shouldn't be behaving like that. You know what I mean? Because if you look at how the white people are looking at you and the white wives, the biggest thing they worried about is their motherfucking Botox injection or a fill on their nails. They are not worried about, you understand what I'm saying, being in a club fighting somewhere with $1,000 worth of clothes on. So they get to the strip club. Lisa Nicole gets in there. And this is what I do not, black women, we got to do better. And, you know, Katy Petty, Petty Crocker, Petty Hardaway, you know, pity, pity, bang, bang. Petty comes, the stripper, and she says, oh, how's Darren? Are you crazy? That was wrong, okay? Are you crazy? Like, you, stripper, stay in your lane. Don't ask me nothing about me and mine, motherfucker. Unless we cool and you know me from the Walmart or from the Target or the Kmart or whatever, don't fucking talk about my husband. So sure enough, you know. And they're trying to say it was a setup and it was this and it was that. For all you know, your husband do be in the strip club. You know what I'm saying? But then y'all say I'm crazy when I be saying I be stalking motherfuckers and shit because I want to know. I don't want a fucking surprise. I'm too old to have a surprise. A surprise might cause me a fucking anxiety attack. I don't got time to be surprised in my fucking relationship. Motherfucker, just tell me what it is. I had to tell somebody the other day. I'm like, look, don't be fucking talking to these Snapchat hoes. I just now found out what the fuck Snapchat was. I don't even have a Snapchat. I'm hard enough to deal with my Twitter. Shout out to Toya, by the way, for retweeting what I wrote when I said that on Married to Medicine. She said she was going to have to start drinking out of mason jars so that the kids didn't think that mommy juice was always wine, which it is. You know, I had a little, you know, I used to tell people all the time I'd drink a fucking bottle of wine a day and shit when I was living in Florida when I was a stay-at-home mom, and I cooked clean, still took care of the baby and drank when he went to sleep, but, you know, she retweeted that, so shout out for Toya for, you know, retweeting that, DTownZone313, and so I just feel like, and she's a rough rider, and if you watch the show, you'll know what I mean when I say Toya's a rough rider, I'm all about it, so, but she keeps her husband happy. You know what I mean? He's a bigger guy. He's not the cutest, but she understands what she got, and she's pretty. Toya's pretty. So I just don't understand why we as women, we would bring something up like that to cause confrontation. You're not in a position to fuck you. Only the wife. Again, not girlfriend, not baby mama, not we've been living together for 10 years. Only the wife is the one with the right. So you guys got to learn to respect that. You know what I mean? Y'all share a last name. Y'all share a last name and an address? No. I have no choice. Everybody got to stay in their lane. And so I think there's a surgence of just disrespectful young black women that are disrespecting elder black women, you know, that are in situations of marriage or whatever. And I just think they all need their ass whooped. You know what I mean? You can't go addressing people. Like, who does it? Where's your mother? You know, maybe that's the bigger question, because you already in here on this poll. Where's your mother? Because clearly she ain't give you no home training. You in a strip club. That is the number one thing in a strip club, a casino, any type of establishment like that, is confidentiality. You know what I mean? You think a guy's going to want to come in there and patronize you and he's all over Page Six in New York, or he's all over the Daily News in Atlanta? You know what I mean? Or on, you know, MediaTakeout.com. Nobody wants that. You know, even in the case of Peter and Cynthia and shit, you know, Peter's a nice looking guy, not my type, but at the same time, like, you guys have a responsibility also to your wives to say, you know what, this is too much. This is too much. You know, what's your name? My name is Ronaldo. You know, just like they giving you a fake name, motherfucker, you better give her one too, you know? So, I mean, it is what it is. And I just don't like the resurgence of disrespectful young black women that are, and it's not even about tearing a marriage up, because that's not her fault, that's your man's fault. And then I watched the preview where Lisa Nicole went to him and was like, oh, this was funny. This was his answer. She says, I don't think a God-fearing man should be in the strip club. And he said, I know people that would disagree. I said, oh my God, Jesus, take the wheel. Oh no, he just told her he was going. And you also confirmed that that was you in there, and that's what you was doing. You know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with the strip club. I think that anything that you do in moderation, I don't think there's anything wrong with watching porn. You want to watch porn? Cool. But if it's getting to the point where it's affecting your day and you can't go get the money, yeah, now we got a problem. You know what I mean? I just, you know, went through a situation this week where I'm like, everything, you know, all my I's and T's were dotted and crossed, and then everything started crumbling and something had to go. And the first thing that had to go was the pseudo relationship that I have, or, you know, the things that I'm doing that are not making me money right now, or that are not, you know, handling my business for me, you know. So, you know, you break down. I apologize for it. It wasn't too bad. I used to go crazy and just start cussing motherfuckers. I don't do that anymore. But it's too much time. And you know, so everybody has to deal with their shit differently, but at the same time, I see, I don't let a dude that I don't even claim get away with shit. So I definitely don't, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be in a marriage letting a motherfucker get away with shit. You fuck with me one time, it's a fucking rap, and you're getting beat. You're getting beat by me, the neighborhood kids, I'm giving them all baths, tell them to treat you like a pinata. And that's what it is. Because men, you have to learn too. Y'all can't keep functioning and going through life doing whatever the fuck you want to do, taking this and then eating that and then licking this and then doing all this shit, and then you come home to me and I'm being good to you and you're out being bad to me. It's not going to work. And so, like I said, I would just like to acknowledge that, yes, we all have fucked up times. We all have, you know, this was a really, 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 really bad week for me. Anything that could have went wrong was wrong. And so, but what that also lets me know is that it's pressure. You know, and when I start to feel that pressure, when I'm getting back in the studio, when I'm getting back sitting down writing, and when I'm getting back, you know, unpacking shit, I still got shit packed up from Kentucky Derby, you know, and that was in May. That's my life, you know what I mean? And I have to go to, you know, I have to go out of state again. I'm grounded for a while, so I don't have to go out of state for about another month. But when I do, I'll be gone 4 days, and we're going to come back. We're going to hit Kentucky, you know, for a few days, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to be in Toronto. I mean, so I'm always ripping and running on the go, but I got to get this money. And so part of the reason that, you know, I had to seek management this week is just because it was just, it's becoming overwhelming now. You know, when I had an agent before, shout out to Clifton Camp and his wife, recovering from surgery down in Atlanta, you know, from marketing camp, you know, had a situation where, you know, I didn't deal with anything. They told me where to show up, where to be, and that's what I did. I didn't have to deal with the phone calls. I didn't have to deal with the emails. Didn't have to deal with the press. I didn't have to deal with any of it. You know, and I wouldn't change any of it for the world. It's not wasted money. It's just a learned experience. But from that came a couple of other, you know, ghostwriting jobs, and those are my big money makers right there. It's just, you know, you get in a rut and you get stuck. And so your place of solace now becomes your place of hell. You know, it becomes your place of venting. And I don't like to unload all my bricks off on anybody, not even my girl, you know, my girl Kay Boogie. You know, we'll catch up at the end of the week when things are less emotional, but I don't like to dump all my shit on anybody. You know, I had to go sit in a doctor's office today and tell her I thought I was slipping into a depression, but not, see, I don't get depressed like a lot of people where they, you know, oh my God, they're crying and they're sad. No, I do shit like listen to Tupac, but I can't move. I can't move. I can't write. I can't finish anything. I can't, you know, I'm paralyzed. It's like I'm, you know, I'm paralyzed. I'm within myself. So, you know, I start recognizing the sign, especially coming from a mother that suffered from, you know, different bouts of manic depression and things like that. And if you don't know what the fuck that is, you need to Google it. So, you know, one minute you have these extreme highs and then the next minute there's these extreme lows. So I'm used to seeing that. So I can identify in myself, you know, I was feeling so high at the beginning of the week. And then one little thing cracked that foundation and threatened to crumble my organization, so to speak, and everybody got to go. Everybody got to get off the boat. Everybody get. I felt like, you know what I felt like? I felt like Frank Lucas when they spilled the blood on the alpaca and he went crazy and told everybody to get the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? That's alpaca. That's how I felt this week. Like, I felt like I was Frank Lucas cussing everybody out, telling them to get the fuck out of the house and stop playing the piano. That's how I felt. And so all's great, you know, when you got a partner or somebody that you're dealing with that, because I wouldn't call them a partner, but, you know, somebody that you're dealing with that they get it, they like, this motherfucker just crazy. That's all that's wrong with her. You know, and I'm a girl's girl. I'm a girly girl, so I really, you know, I don't deal with emotions too much. Everything with me is stop, go, yes or no. It's black or white. It's no gray. There's no middle option. You either fuck with me or you don't, and that's what it is. And then, you know, we had a little pop-up. You know, Satan, of course, tried to rear his ugly head again. And not that, you know, these people are demonic, but it's just that, you know, when everything is going so bad and this one little sprinkle that just keeps coming back for the top, you know, then I know that something really good is happening. So I was waiting on to get information from management today, and so we didn't get any information today, which is a good thing because, you know, if someone can quickly look at my files and look at my resume and look at the work that I've done in the community and look at what I've done with my businesses and trademarks and everything else, and it take them an extra day or two to decipher what the fuck they're going to do with me or what they're going to, because I know they're listening to shows and they're looking at press and they're looking at media and the people that I'm linked to publicly and the people that I could be linked to privately. And, you know, for as much as I post, I still live a very private life. When both my tires on my car got flat, and I said to myself, I said, ain't nobody coming flatten these tires. Don't nobody know where I live. You know what I mean? So, you know, it just was that kind of week. So I'm just thankful that I didn't get a rejection call today. I might get one tomorrow, but I didn't get one today. So just trying to put y'all in the loop about that. But I also feel like, you know, I'm on my Diddy shit. And we can say whatever we want to say about Diddy, that he's on cocaine, he's on prescription medication, that he's, you know, he's a motherfucker. He beat somebody with a kettlebell, you know, with his keys. He's got a million kids by a million different women. But what I want to talk about is the fact that, and this is how I feel, Cassie, who he's with right now, Cassie Ventura, Drop Dead Gorgeous, I remember her when she did her first single called It's Me and You with Ryan Leslie. That's the homie. He's out of D.C. And he was with ROS, LNS, you know, Less Connection. And he did that song, Addicted to You. That was, like, my all-time, like, one of my favorite jams. And he was so talented. And Diddy met Cassie and said, that right there, that's my juke joint, and he just fucking took her. Like, and it's fucked up to watch the Cassie video because you see, you know, Ryan Leslie in there, and he's completely in love with her and all this other stuff, and then Diddy just swoops in for the kill, takes the girl, and is still with her to this day. You know, and so I kind of have these little Diddy moments, and I'm not being funny. Like, I do actually follow Diddy on Instagram at I am Diddy, D-I-D-D-Y, for inspirational shit. Because, like, when he's crazy and when he's high as fuck or drunk as fuck, he's very motivational. Like, he's like, get your ass out there. Get your, you know, just like when Kanye West said that he makes self-esteem music. You know what I mean? Just like when Dame Dash was like, y'all a bunch of chatty patties. I choose to model myself after strong, powerful, successful men because I feel like as women we get so emotional and we get so catty and we get so petty. But I am, like I said, in the runnings to allow two women to manage my career and to manage everything that's going on with my brand. And they've got combined over 40 years experience in the automotive world, in the sales, advertising, marketing. So, you know, hopefully we hear from them this week about what I can do, what they can or can't do, and then that'll bring me back to Detroit a little bit more often because y'all know I love Detroit. But as of right now, I definitely want to leave with the song Cassie, It's Me and You, and you got to listen to the lyrics of it because I know that Ryan wrote it. Ryan Leslie, shout out to you too, darling, if you're listening. But I love this song because it's just, it's so raunchy, and it's the song that catapulted Cassie with Diddy. So the song is Me and You. I'm out. Tell the Truth Tuesday tomorrow. Talk to y'all then.
Treat you.